Our guest, David Lamott, has put together a book. Now, he is a singer, a songwriter, a public speaker, and so much more, but he's put together a book called White Flower. It's a children's book, kind of. I mean, it's a children's book in that it is put together like a children's book. It is illustrated like a children's book, but it's discussing really serious topics, and he joins us on the line. Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking some time.
Hey, it's such a pleasure. Thanks for your hospitality.
Absolutely. How are you today?
I'm well. I'm not on the treadmill, I have to confess. It sounds like y'all are keeping busy up there.
We're trying. We're trying to get everybody in Philadelphia healthy and happy as possible.
That's good.
Tell us, I talked a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit more. So kind of singer-songwriter, the message of peace is not something that's new to you.
No, it's not. It's definitely something I've been passionate about for a long time. And it's not peace in a naive sort of way. You know, I mean, I think people roll their eyes pretty quickly when you start talking about peace and nonviolence. But certainly if we take a hard look at history, we see that nonviolence is actually quite a practical strategy in a lot of situations when fighting oppression. And so I wanted to tell a story with this book of a really excellent example of that happened just 5 years ago in Knoxville.
Now, tell us, as I was sitting there reading this, and I better understood it when I recognized that it was about a story that actually happened, but a children's book around I won't say a confrontation, but a white supremacist rally with the Ku Klux Klan, what inspired that?
Yeah, it's not your average children's book by any long stretch. Basically, you know, I think kids are not strangers to violence. Our entertainment's exposing them to a lot of violence. You know, hatred isn't something that's new to them. What is new in this book for a lot of kids is the narrative of how we oppose hatred. Because, you know, generally the plot line of most of our entertainment is that you win, you know, justice triumphs when the good guys beat up the bad guys. But the truth is, seldom works that way in real life. You know, violence, as Dr. King told us, tends to lead to more violence. And so coming up with nonviolent responses to aggression, we find when we look at history, it's actually quite effective, you know, that nonviolence can be a very practical strategy. And so I wanted to have an opportunity to kind of start these conversations with kids, because I think it's important that they hear a different narrative from time to time. Now, I should say, not little kids. I wouldn't hit little tiny ones with this story, because it is harsh. You know, we are dealing with the Klan here, and you have to explain who the Klan is in order to make sense of the book. But by the time kids are in middle school, that's really what we're targeting here. Even say 8 to 10 year olds, they're starting to learn a little bit about civil rights history, as well they should, and it's good for them to understand that not all of that is in the distant past, that the civil rights era, you could argue, is not over.
So it is, for those who don't know, tell us the story that inspired this.
Sure. Okay, so here's what happened. In 2007, there was a Klan rally in Knoxville, Tennessee, and they got their parade permits and went through all the legal channels and reserved the town square for a few hours to have a rally. Well, the protesters decided that instead of going to shout down the shouters and hate the haters, what they would do, they would be a little bit more creative than that. And they formed a group called the Coup, C-O-U-P, Klutz Clowns. And the CCC took on the KKK that day. And they basically slightly altered the things that the Klan was shouting. So when the Klan started shouting white power, the clowns acted like they couldn't quite understand what they were saying. And then they joined right in, because they figured it out. That they said, this is a rally for white flour. Great. So they pulled out bags of flour, and they had a big flour fight. They did a bunch of really hilarious street theater, and they just took all the power out of that hatred by subverting the whole vibe at the event. So they had lots of preparation, they had lots of street theater ready, lots of props, and they moved on through various misinterpretations of what the Klan was shouting. So they shouted white flower, and then they shouted tight showers, and they pulled out some camp showers and held them up and tried to crowd beneath them, and then they said it was, oh no, it's white flowers, and they started giving everybody white flowers, and they basically just had a whole lot of fun and showed the Klan to be the silly sort of folks that they were, quite honestly. You know, that they refused to take these these ridiculous ideas seriously. They took them with the humor that they perhaps deserve.
And so as a result of this, you know, and there was a large number of people kind of standing down this Klan rally, but they didn't meet their anger and their hatred with anger and hatred. They kind of dismissed them as clowns.
Precisely. Yeah, yeah. One of the lines in the poem that became the text for the book is, they laughed and danced, but other clowns had come to town that day. And I should say, my three-year-old son loves the book, and he doesn't entirely understand what's going on, and I haven't explained it to him. But to his mind, everybody in the book are clowns.
and that works, true.
You know?
That's actually true. Now, and how did it all end? I mean, the book, obviously, I've read the book, and it's a children's book, so it didn't take me long to go ahead and read it. I could understand it. But did
it's
it
a
really
five-minute
end?
Read.
Did it really end like it ends in the book?
It actually really ended like it ends in the book, which is to say that the Klan left an hour and a half early because they just didn't know what to do with this. They're quite accustomed to being shouted at. They're quite accustomed to meeting hatred with hatred. And they love that. They feed on that energy, I think. But they had no idea what to do with all these people laughing and dancing and really having a good time and sort of not taking them seriously. And so it really subverted their power, and they left an hour and a half early. And also, as happens in the book, an African-American policeman turned to the clowns after the Klan left and offered them a flashing light police escort to have a little parade of their own through the town, which they did.
Now,
so it's really quite a powerful story.
It really is a great story, and I'm not sure. And that's part of the inspiration for doing the book. I mean, you can send the message to young people, but you're also making sure that people like myself or people in the listening audience who may not have known all of the details of the story are also aware of it, because it really does seem to be a powerful way that you dismiss this anger and hatred.
Yeah, I think it's a really inspiring story and an important one to be telling, because we've got to be looking at some other narratives. You know, the narratives that we're getting the narrative loud and clear that good guys beat up the bad guys and that's how you win. But I question the validity of that.
Now, how has it, you said that your three-year-old received it, not fully understanding it, but received it and viewed all of them as clowns and not people to necessarily be taken seriously. How has the book been received thus far? Because it is potentially a little controversial.
It's certainly controversial, but it's been received really warmly. It's been thrilling how well it's gone. The book's only been out a few weeks. We've sold a couple thousand copies of it already, and it's an independent project, so that's a pretty impressive number for just a few weeks. I got a lovely fan letter from Patch Adams, the real Patch Adams, about 3 weeks ago. He loved the book and sent me a lovely quote about it. If you're looking for a clown activist, he's kind of the go-to guy, so it's fun to have that kind of support. But it's really going well. There's actually a school curriculum being built around it for middle schoolers that meets national teaching standards, and there's a Sunday school curriculum being built by some other folks to talk about nonviolence in that context. And so people are really excited about it. It's definitely getting out there.
You know, it seems like we talk on this program a lot about the fact that children on a lot of levels are a clean slate until some bad people teach them how to think on some levels. This is a very difficult topic to talk about. It's that much more difficult to talk about it in a racially diverse crowd. So is presenting it this way one of the ways that you can have, you know, and I going off on a tangent, we have classes where they've had slave auctions and you dress some of the students up as slaves. I mean, we've got some really bad ways of teaching racism and discrimination. Is this one that could potentially be comfortable for a lot of children?
Well, I think it's accessible. You know, part of the joy of the book is that it's funny. You know, what the clowns did is really funny. And when you read the book, actually, I've been performing the poem for years. I wrote it shortly after the event happened. I've been performing the poem for years in my concerts, and people laugh and they get moved, and sometimes they get a little tearful toward the end. But it's funny, you know, and it's nice to have a sort of easy way into the topic. But very clearly, the book isn't intended to be a conversation ender. It's a conversation starter, and I think it's a great way to get kids thinking about this and kind of kick it around with them a little bit, ask them some questions. You know, why did they choose to do it this way? What did the Klan want? And did they get what they wanted? You know, and ask those kinds of questions to the kids so that you can have these conversations, get them thinking about these kinds of things.
It seemed like it would be, as you said, there's a curriculum being developed, and that was going to be my next question, because it does seem like those who decide to teach, because it's a targeting a pretty young group, need to understand the way to go about teaching it and how to address the inevitable questions that will come from this. But I applaud taking on a very challenging topic and seemingly coming up with a way to teach it without having to resort to the old anger versus anger.
Well, thanks very much. Yeah, you know, I think we do have to kind of elevate the conversation a little bit if we hope to grow out of it. You know, if we're going to move through this, the worst danger in any kind of struggle that has a moral component to it is not losing to your enemy, it's becoming your enemy. And that's what we've got to really avoid.
How do people get a copy of it if they would like to get it? I'd like to see it in the hands of young people. And I'd like to get more information about the curriculum. How do folks get the book?
Rockin', thank you. The book can be found at whiteflowerbook.com or through going to my website, which is davidlamotte.com. But whiteflowerbook.com is probably easier to spell. And I actually bought the websites for flower spelled both ways.
So right, and I was just
you get there
that.
Either way.
So whiteflowerbook.com.
Right.
Outstanding.
Right.
What's next for you?
Well, a lot of things. I got a new record in the works. I'm doing a lot of speaking, a lot of traveling around. Heading up to D.C. next week to do an interview with Tom Hartman on public television about the book. And a lot of exciting things going on, so much to celebrate.
I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. Me and my producer were sitting here in the studio trying to get a better understanding. We both kind of got the book, but you get it with even more depth after listening to you and talking to you and fully understanding the story. So I applaud you. I think it's a good way to address this issue.
Well, back at you. Thanks for being a significant part of some positive changes in Philadelphia, and it's really a pleasure to have some time with you.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon. You take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Spending some time with author and award-winning musician. His name is David Lamotte. His book is called White Flower, like the powder, White Flower. And it talks about a situation that actually happened. It was a Klan rally that was taking place. And in order to dismiss or combat the negativity of the Klan, a group of individuals formed their own anti-group or their own group to essentially mock the Klan. They showed up as the Ku Klux Clowns and essentially mocked the Klan. And it was interesting because the response from the Klan, as David Lamotte pointed out, they didn't really know what to do. Now, and he makes a good point. Hate groups are used to being met with hate. They're used to you yelling at them and they yell back, and you shout at them and they shout back, and you get louder and they get louder, and confrontation. They're used to that. That doesn't shut down their rallies, rarely. But this was an interesting situation that happened in 2007, and it was based on a true story. Whiteflowerbook.com for more information.